In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, in the gospel today, we have two men coming to our Lord with great desires, with great faith, and they are rewarded fully. Their prayer is entirely answered. The leper came, and of course he couldn't come close because lepers were completely shunned and excluded from society. But he calls out, "Lord, if thou wilt, make me clean." Made a great act of faith there. And he's immediately cleansed. Right there, people can see his scabs, his putrefying flesh, his appearance. He was just instantly cured. Imagine how shocked you would be if you had seen that. I wouldn't doubt that some people fainted. And notice that he worshiped, or as the other translations of scripture said, adored him. Remember, Jesus came to seek that act of faith from everyone. It's not enough to just say, "Jesus, you're a great person." No, we have to say, "My Lord and my God." And we must bend the knee before him in adoration. We must make that act of faith. And yes, we pray to our Lord for our spiritual and temporal necessities. And we need to pray with great faith. Pray, ask for much. Don't just ask for little things. It's good to ask for great things. It doesn't mean we will always get them, because that is up to God to decide whether we need that or what would be in our best interest. But obviously in this case, it was in his best interest to be healed of leprosy. And he was abundantly rewarded. The other man also has great faith, has a great desire, has a great concern, has a heart of charity for his servant who is lying at home paralyzed. He's that sick. He's that ill. And he's also going to make this act of faith. Now, it doesn't say that he worshiped or adored, but his words imply that or express that worship or adoration. Because Jesus says, "I will come and cure him." And the centurion does some logical reasoning now with our Lord. And he starts off with an act of humility. "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Say but the word, and my servant shall be healed." I know, Jesus, that you are so powerful that you don't even need to come. You can just do it right from here. So he's really acknowledging our Lord's divinity, his power. And so pleasing were these words to our Lord that the church puts it in every Mass with one slight change. You'll hear the priest say before his communion and also before your communion, "Domine non sum dignus, urintre sub tectum meum." Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Sed tantum dic verbo et sanabitur anima mea. But just say the word and my soul shall be healed. Does this mean that he didn't want our Lord to come to his house? No, he was expressing his humility, that he didn't feel his house was worthy enough for our Lord to come. So that's why he said these words. You see how important humility is. We must humble ourselves before God, my dear brethren. Remember that pride is the first of the capital sins, and it's at the foundation of all other sins. God is pleased with humility, and he finds pride abominable. And when the more pride we have, the more God will push us away. So we have to work at humbling ourselves. And how fitting, before we receive our Lord and Maker, the Creator of heaven and earth, upon our tongue that we say, Lord, I am not worthy. We're overcoming our pride at that moment. And it's something we have to work on our whole lives. Pride is submitting to God, submitting to his will, acknowledging how little, even nothing, we are in comparison to him. And humility is truth. Humility is truth. And God is the God of truth. He is truth itself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what our Lord said. So it is true for us to say, Lord, I am not worthy. I am nothing in comparison to you. And I have also offended thee. But with this humility, there's this wonderful act of faith. He's reasoning with our Lord. He's explaining to him. Now, our Lord knows all of this, but I think this also shows us something we can do in our prayer life. We can explain things to our Lord from our point of view. He knows it already, but he still wants us, he wants to hear it from us. Don't just pray by rote. That would be, for example, praying the prayers of the missal or your standard morning and night prayers. Even the rosary, you could say those are prayers by rote, but we need to put it in our own words. Our Lord wants that. He loves to hear it from us. And what's our Lord's reaction when this man is explaining how, Lord, just like I'm in charge of soldiers and they do as I say, so you're in charge of me and everything else, and if just people will do what you say, or things will happen if you say. What is our Lord's reaction? And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. You see, this man was acknowledging who Jesus was. He didn't say, my Lord and my God, but in effect he was. And you know, there are many people in history that have said Jesus was a great person. He did great things. He suffered much. He suffered a painful death, but they don't make that act of faith, my Lord and my God. And they kneel in adoration before him. You have to make that act of faith, and I know you do, but it's a faith that we can grow in more and more, my Lord and my God. Now, when it says that Jesus marveled, of course, as God, he already knew it, but he was like us in all things except for sin, as St. Paul says. So from the human aspect, he's appreciating this expression of faith. Here's a Roman soldier, a Roman officer, saying such a powerful expression of humility and faith. And this is what Jesus came to look for, you might say. He's expecting it, and this man is doing it. Go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. Notice what our Lord says, as thou hast believed. You have to believe. If you don't believe or your faith is weak, then you won't have your prayer answered, at least not in the same way. As thou hast believed. And the servant was healed in that hour. Something else that strikes me about this is that the centurion was in the physical presence of our Lord. And when Jesus said, I will come and heal him, our Lord is saying, I will go and physically be present. But again, the faith of the centurion prompted him to say, Lord, you're powerful enough. You don't need to be physically present. You can just heal at a distance through your spiritual power. And this reminds me again, and I think this is why the church uses this before we receive the physical presence of our Lord in Holy Communion. That is so special that we have the physical presence of our Lord, that we need to have such great adoration and humility in his physical presence. Yes, God is present everywhere spiritually. He's present everywhere by his power. But it's only here in church where the true Mass takes place, in any place where the true Mass takes place, that we have his physical presence. And when we are in his physical presence, we must show our adoration in a physical manner. This is why kneeling is so important. When we genuflect when we come into church, there's parts of the Mass where we kneel. If we see a priest going by bringing Holy Communion to the sick, we kneel if we can at that moment. Or Corpus Christi procession, when our Lord goes in procession, we kneel for his physical presence. And if we don't do that, we will lose our adoration. Our faith will weaken. So that is why that rubric is there. So let us rejoice in this lesson on faith and humility that we are given in today's gospel. And let us always remember those words of our Lord. As thou hast believed, so shall it be done to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.